And last two prayers remaining. Three prayers remaining. So this is a prayer in which he is glorifying the gopis. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa pranaya nirikshana kalpito romana kritamanu krutavatya unmadanda prakritim madan kilayasya gopa vadva. Gopa vadva, the gopis, kalpita urumana, they performed the topmost worship, urumana, lalita gati vilasa. The gopis were worshipped, sorry, the gopis did not worship. Of course, they worshipped Krishna, but here what is being mentioned is Krishna worshipping the gopis. How did Krishna worship the gopis? Lalita gati vilasa. By his expert actions. Valguhasa. Pranaya nirikshana. By his emotional displays, words and glances. Krishna worshipped the gopis. Kritam. Attaining those qualities. So the gopis attained all the qualities of Krishna because of their love. So kritam, having attaining those qualities, anukrita vatya, they responded in harmony to his most extraordinary displays of love. They exactly knew how to respond. They didn't practice, no one taught them. But because they were so much in sync with Krishna's heart, they exactly responded. Unmada anda, being blinded by the madness of love. Kila, indicating, indicates, you know, amazement. How amazing. Yasya prakriti magan. Yasya Krishna's prakritim nature agan. They received. They got exactly the nature of Krishna. That they could exactly reciprocate. Even though they were not trained. They were not trained. They didn't practice. It's the Rasa Leela or the dances of the gopis with Krishna were not rehearsed. But they exactly knew. And they responded. So, that's what is mentioned. That here, even though for Bhishma Dev, the object of his worship is Krishna as Parthasarathi. And for him, the one might think that the highest, the greatest devotee in Bhishma Dev's opinion was probably Arjuna. Because he addresses his Lord as Vijaya Sake, Partha Sake and all these words. But he says that yes, I really relish those pastimes when Krishna shows his affection to Arjuna. But the greatest devotees are the gopis. That's what he is. And I want their blessings before I move on. So for that purpose, he is offering this prayer to the gopis also. So here it is mentioned that these gopis were worshipped by Krishna with expert actions, emotional displays, words and glances. And by such an by such a reciprocation of love, the gopis were completely endowed with the qualities of Krishna. They attained the nature of Krishna and they would respond exactly the way Krishna would expect them to respond while dancing. And it was not rehearsed at all. How is it possible that, you know, there were thousands and lakhs of gopis? How could, without rehearsal, they could exactly respond with Krishna's dancing? So Bhishma Dev was amazed that how much their lives are in sync with Krishna's desires. That Krishna is trying to worship them with expert actions, emotional displays, words and glances, like that. Srila Vishnachala Thakur commenting here, he says, though you are omniscient, the prema that you desire in my charioteer pastime is in Arjuna alone. It is understood that among all the associates with prema, he is the chief. One may say that from Bhishma Dev's prayers, that's how it looks like. It seems like Arjuna is the chief amongst those who have prema. He says, no. Your dear gopis are the most exalted prema amongst all the devotees. They are superior even to Arjuna. No one can dare to pray for their position. But someone like Uddhava and others, they pray for, they seemingly pray for the position of gopis. But as I think we saw in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, so Uddhava and others do not pray for the position of gopis. They pray for the intensity of their love. So, but at the same time wanting to retain their own rasa. Like that. I will be successful at my death by just indicating their nature, by indicating their supremacy amongst all devotees. Thus he speaks this verse. Krishna was expert at physical arts such as dancing in the Rasa Leela, expert in expressing mental qualities such as the Dhira Lalita. Dhira Lalita, Dhiro Datta, you know, these are various aspects of Krishna's various natures that is described in Bhaktirasam Chandra in the later sections. Expert in words with joking, expert with the eyes at glancing to show all aspects of prema. And with all those expert actions, he was trying to worship the gopis. The gopis were to be worshipped by all these skillful actions of Krishna. In order to please them, Krishna endowed them with all the best outstanding qualities of himself. The result of their extreme prema was that Krishna, in giving all his own qualities, attempted to please them with conciliating love. That display of love, which is without restraints for either party, showed extreme control of Krishna by the gopis and was filled with great bliss. So the Krishna has his nature of Bhritya Vashyata, being controlled completely by his devotee. But that quality was stretched to its limit with his dealings with the gopis, which was not seen in his dealings with Arjuna or Bhishma Dev and others. Control of the Lord manifested as a result of Arjuna's prema. He was also controlled by Arjuna. Arjuna could kick him sitting on the chariot. The control of the Lord manifested as a result of Arjuna's prema was that Krishna became his messenger and charioteer. But that role had restraints for both parties. Therefore, both these roles, you know, do not have so much intimacy. He became compliant by offering all his qualities to the gopis. He didn't offer all his qualities to Arjuna. He offered all his qualities to the gopis. They had a mutual friendship filled with happiness because of mutual compliance. So there was perfect mutual compliance between the gopis and Krishna. It was not so much between Arjuna and Krishna. Then he bestowed an extraordinary fortune. Krishna as the messenger or as the charioteer did not dance with Arjuna. But he danced with the gopis. The extraordinary fortune of the gopis is that the dancing, the songs and speech during the Rasalila. And in response, the gopis did the same. Anukrita Vatya. Exactly. They matched step to step. In harmony with him, they offered him dancing, songs and speech in the Rasalila. There was no need to teach them anything. They were blinded by the increase of great prema. Unmada andaha. They did not need practice. How astonishing. They attained all his extraordinary qualities such as skills in dancing and singing. Krishna did not give his unique extraordinary power to Arjuna. Arjuna didn't get all these things. Like that. They imitated those actions. Kritam can also refer to Krishna's actions such as lifting the Govardhan. They also imitated those actions about how Krishna would lift the Govardhan. Like that. In that extreme state, some of them even merged with the Lord. This is the highest level of exalted prema. Like that, Bhishma Dev is offering his prayers to the gopis and Krishna who was responding with the gopis. About their exalted position where Krishna shared his own qualities with the gopis. And how they perfectly reciprocated with Krishna. Like that. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport. The relation of Krishna with the gopis is more praiseworthy than with Arjuna. Because of the gopis still more purified devotional service. Still more purified devotional service. In what sense is the word pure used here? In terms of rasa. Right? There was no mix of Aishwarya there. The Lord did not award Arjuna equal strength. But the gopis became one with the Lord by attainment of equal footing with the Lord. So then Prabhupada says, why is Bhishma Dev remembering the gopis at the last stage of his life? So Prabhupada says, it is to have their mercy also at the time of death. Also the Lord is very satisfied when his pure devotees are glorified. Therefore Bhishma Dev glorifies not just his immediate object of attraction, that is Arjuna, but also the topmost of pure devotees, that is the gopis. So the Lord is very satisfied when his devotees are glorified, praised, worshipped. So he said that, till now I have worshipped just the immediate object of my affection, that is Arjuna, but I have to also glorify the topmost object of affection, that is the gopis. But one may say that, but do you mean to say that the gopis equality is sayujya, sayujya mukti? No, this equality is one of perfect ecstasy, where the differential conception is perfectly eradicated for the interest of the lover and beloved become identical. So, when both the interests of the lover and the beloved are exactly identical, then the differential conception is perfectly eradicated. There is no difference. So which means, this is discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela also. He says that, how is it that the Vrajvasis, they don't perform anything absolutely for their own pleasure. They do everything for Krishna's pleasure, but still they get a pleasure which is million times more than what Krishna experiences through their activities. All their act, but still the million times more pleasure that they are experiencing, that is not the impetus for their actions. The pleasure that Krishna gets is the impetus for their actions. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that this is a big virodabhas here. How do you resolve this? Then he says, I tried understanding this, I could come up with only one resolution. He said that I could understand that the pleasure of the ashraya is purely in the pleasure of the vishaya. Who is vishaya? Krishna. Who is ashraya? Devotees. In this case, Vrajavasis. So he says that that's how I could understand that only because that their pleasure is solely dependent on the pleasure of Krishna. That's how, even though without acting for their own pleasure, they get so much more pleasure. Like that. So he is glorifying the gopis here in this verse. Then, Muniganandrupavarya Sankulenta Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasoya Esham Arhanam Mupapeda Ikshaniyo Mamadrishi Gochara Esha Aviratma. He says, Mama Atma, the Lord of my life, Ikshaniya, who is the most worthy of being seen, Arhanam Upapeda. He is remembering the time when Yudhishthir Maharaj performed his Rajasuya Yagya, when Krishna got the prime position of worship. The Lord of my life, worthy of being seen, who received the worship, Muni Gana Nripa Varya Sankule. Sankule means in the assembly of the Muni Gana, the sages. Nripa Varya, the best amongst the kings, Sankule, in their assembly, he got the, what do you call it in Sanskrit? Prime position of worship in Rajasuya Yagya. Anyone remembers? Something like that. Anyway, I forgot. Antasadasi, in the assembly, Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esham, during the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira, Mama Drishi Gochara Esha Avihi, that Lord has become visible to my eyes. Like that he is telling. When I am leaving my body, that same Lord has appeared before my eyes. Bhishma relates his great fortune, which is directly visible now, to the necessity of attaining the Lord. Krishna was seen with amazement by the sages, exclaiming, oh, what beauty, what greatness. They said, Brahmaji, his creative ability has attained perfection in creating Krishna. Those who are not aware of Krishna's supremacy, that's what they were talking. I don't think Brahmaji can do a better job in creating someone's body like that. In the midst of the gathering composed of the best sages and kings during the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthira, he received worship. He is my soul, the Lord of my life is now visible to my eyes. He has fulfilled my request. So he has waited. He came so that I could take his darshan while I am living, and he also waited till I offered my prayers and go back home back to Godhead. So like that, he offers his gratitude to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the Brahmana, Kshatriyas were the most important in the society in those times. Therefore, Vaishyas and Shudras are not mentioned here, because they were little lower. But due to the change of social activities in modern age, the importance of men has also changed in terms of occupational positions, which means the Shudras and the Vaishyas, they have started controlling now. Meditating on Lord means to meditate on his name, form, pastimes, etc. This is more easier than impersonal meditation. It's not so easy. How would you meditate? And also, it is mentioned that while you are meditating on the impersonal, it is mentioned that your senses and your antakarana has to be completely purified. There must not be any trace of material impression there. Because if it is there, then your senses will respond to material impulse, material stimulus. So if your senses are simultaneously responding to material stimulus, then they cannot meditate on the impersonal absolute, because he has no material qualities, no material form, no material anything. So your senses must be 100% purified. If not, then it is not possible to meditate at all. That is why Krishna says, Klesho adhikataraste shama vyakta sakta chetasa. Last prayer. Tamimam ahamajam sharira bajam hridi hridi dishtitam atma kalpitanam pratitrisham ivanai kadar kamekam samadhikatosmi viduta vedamoha viduta vedamoha. Freed of the illusion of difference in Lord's various forms, he doesn't think that, the Lord as the Paramatma looks in this, he looks like this, the Lord as Bhagavan looks different, and there is a different Paramatma in each one's heart, so is that one or many? These are like various kinds of doubts people have. Is it the same person or is it different? Narsingadev looks like half lion, half man. Varahadev looks like a boar. Matsya looks like a fish. Is it the same person or is it different? He says, viduta beda mohaha. Freed of the illusion of the difference in the Lord's various forms, tam samadhigatosmi, I have attained the Lord. Ekam, who is one, na ekada pratidrisham, even though he is appearing to be many, na ekada pratidrisham. Arkamiva, just like the sun, everyone, wherever you go, you will see the sun above your head. Well, it does not mean it's a different sun. It's the same sun. Who is the charioteer, but who is also in my heart? Hridi hridi dishtitam atma kalpitanam. So he says that, who is the charioteer, but who is also seen in my heart? The unborn and is situated in the hearts of all the jivas who create their own bodies. So I don't have any illusion of difference in the Lord's various forms. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, why do you not address the Lord directly? but instead address him indirectly with words like Vijaya Sakhi, Vijaya Rata Kutumba Me Gatirastu, Charana Gatir Paramasya Tasime Astu. Sa Bhavatu Me Bhagavan Gatihi. Like that, you know, why you are addressing the Lord in third person when he is standing right in front of you? Why can't you just say, oh, may my mind fix myself in your lotus feet, Krishna? Is it any different person? Or do you think that this person is different from the one who assisted Arjuna in the battlefield? Do you think like that? So this verse answers, indicating that Bhishma desires the Lord as a charioteer. Partha Sarathi. Yesterday my mother had called, and in Chennai there is a Divyadesham, quite a few Divyadeshams. One of the Divyadeshams is Partha Sarathi temple. So she had called last night and she told her, oh, today I went to Partha Sarathi temple. So I said, today, you know, we were also worshipping Partha Sarathi only. Through Bhagavatam we were worshipping. She was wondering, what do you mean? You know, were you in Chennai or something like that? No. Through Bhagavatam we were also worshipping Partha Sarathi only yesterday. So this verse answers, indicating that Bhishma desires the Lord as a charioteer. I have attained that Lord who is the charioteer of Arjuna, holding the whip and bridle in his hands, who is now appearing in my heart. Hridi hridi dishtitam. He has now appeared in my heart also. But one may say, oh, but the Shastras describe the Paramatma within the heart. He does not have a whip in his hand. So he says that, oh, because Krishna the charioteer has already entered and pervaded my heart completely by practice, it is not possible for the Paramatma to enter. Partha Sarathi has taken his place. So Paramatma, there is no place. Like that. He does not make his appearance just at this time. Though he appeared to my eyes in this form at the time of battle, even before the battle, he was already in my heart because of my spontaneous desire. So it's not that, did Bhishma Dev really see Krishna as the charioteer before the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So before that, what was his form of worship? Partha Sarathi only. Because it's an eternal form, it's an eternal pastime. Like that. He is unborn because he has already been visible to me. There is no fault on my part in this, but the Supreme Lord alone, situated in the heart, ordains good fortune or misfortune of the jivas. He is situated in the hearts of all the jivas who create their bodies. He gives some proof for this. I know that the charioteer indicated by the word tam and the 400 form in Dwaraka indicated by the word imam are non-different. Tam imam. He says, that's how the words start. Tam imam aham ajam sharira bhajam hridi hridi dishtitam. He says that the form sitting on the chariot of the charioteer and the 400 form of Dwaraka, which he said, dhyana patas chatur bhujaha. He says, may that 400 form be present in front of me, like that he was praying. He says, both these two forms are non-different. So you were asking yesterday that, he says that the Lord standing on the chariot, and he also says Chaturbhuja. So was the Lord standing in front of him as 400 form or 200 form, which form? So Bhishma Dev says they are non-different. The one sun in the sky appears to individual seers to be not one but many above each person's head. Each one sees a sun above his head. That does not mean there are so many suns. By such distinctive seeing, the sun appears to be many. Bhishma is free of such illusory seeing. Though Krishna appears in my heart and in the hearts of Yudhishthir, Vasudeva, Uddhava, Nanda and the gopis, with various degrees of prema and type of love, with different pastimes for each, I know that this is one Krishna only. Mallanam Ashanir, Ninam Naravaro, Srinam Smaro Murtiman. So each one sees according to their love or hate, whatever they have towards Krishna. They see him in a different way, but that does not mean it's different Krishna, it's the same Krishna. That's what he's telling. Vidhuta Beda Moha. I know the various degrees of excellence of their prema and love, but I can never give up my natural attachment to the form of Krishna as the charioteer. Even thinking of the 400 form of Krishna in Dwaraka is not interesting to me. It's not so interesting, he says. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Krishna expands into his many expansions as a super soul feature and as the Brahma Jyoti by his inconceivable energy. But foolish people cannot understand such inconceivable energies. Hence, they see Krishna as different from the super soul, or they see him as different from the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna as different from his, and sometimes they see Krishna as different from his expansions. Krishna is different, Matsya is different, Kurma is different, like that they see. Or sometimes they see Vrindavan Krishna and Parthasarathi Krishna to be different. But for Bhishma Dev, all these misconceptions were removed and he has accepted that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything and it is the same Krishna who is appearing in these various forms. Therefore, he is a Mahajan because he knows the truth. The great Mahatmas perfectly know Krishna in his different features as Super Soul and Brahma Jyoti and worship Krishna knowing him as the origin of all these features. So, the Mahatmas perfectly know that Krishna, Bhagavan, he is the origin of all the other features, including Brahma Jyoti, Super Soul, etc. So that brings us to the end of the prayers. So I think last 7 verses where Suta Goswami is concluding this chapter. Suta Vacha Krishna evam bhagavati mano vadrishti vritti bihi atmanyatmanam aveshya sontashvasa uparamat. Thus Bhishma, absorbing himself in Krishna, the Bhagavan, the charioteer situated in his heart, using his mind, words and sight, he completely absorbed himself in Krishna. Antashvasa, he stopped his breathing, uparamat, and ceased his external functions. While being completely absorbed in Krishna, he gave up his life. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, this kind of quitting is called Nirvikalpa Samadhi. Prabhupada says that this Nirvikalpa Samadhi indicates merging the self into thinking of the Lord. His mind in remembering his Leela, chanting his glories, seeing the form of the Lord, all without deviation. So mind, words and vision. Mind, words and sight. All of them are absorbed in Krishna. Mind in meditating on the form of the Lord. Vision in seeing the form of the Lord. And words in chanting the glories of his name, form, pastimes, etc. This is the highest stage of perfection. Everyone can attain it by performance of Navada Bhakti. So by performing this 9-limbed process of Bhakti, everyone can attain this kind of Samadhi. like yesterday we saw. Ultimately, when did we see? Not yesterday. Oh, it was in Bhaktirasam Sindhu discussion we were seeing. Krishna talks about the stages, different levels of bhakti. Did we discuss? In 12th chapter. He says, Mai eva mana adatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya, nivashishyasi mai eva ata urdvamna samshaya. He says that Mai eva mana adatsva. Fix your mind in me completely. Which means, have spontaneous absorption in me. This is the stage of bhava and prema. This is the highest, he says. Oh, if you cannot do that, Mai buddhim niveshe. If sometimes when your mind gets disturbed, then take shelter of the shastras and fix it back on me. This is slightly less than bhava, but almost there. Maybe ruchi or asakti. So, he says that the first is smaranatmika bhakti. Krishna Jagadakur terms it. Mai eva mana adatsva. This is the topmost. If the mind is completely absorbed. Or as in Bhaktirasam Sindhu's language, it is called bhava rupa nushilanam. You remember? Cheshta rupa, bhava rupa. Bhava rupa nushilanam. Then he says, if you cannot do that, then mananatmika bhakti. Mananatmika bhakti is mai buddhim niveshe. Whenever you are not able to perfectly fix it, take shelter of the shastras, bring it back. But if it is difficult, if this also is, you are finding it difficult, then he says, atachittam samadatam nashaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. He says, then practice abhyasa rupa bhakti. He says, abhyasa rupa bhakti means, it is not natural for you to fix your mind in Krishna. So whenever the mind wanders, bring it back. Whenever the mind wanders, bring it back. Yato yato nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyammetat atmanyeva vasham nayet. So whenever it goes, wanders around, bring it back. Okay. So this is called abhyasa rupa bhakti. This is probably very sincere sadhaka. Sincere and determined sadhaka is practicing. He practices abhyasa rupa bhakti. He says, if that is also very difficult, every moment observing my mind, bringing it back, observing my mind, bringing it back, that's too tiring. You know, it's very difficult. It's too taxing for me. That's why it is said that, you know, if you really chant with attention 2 hours constantly, it's actually a very tiring thing. So you have to always pull the mind back, fix it, pull the mind back, fix it, pull the mind back, fix it. The end of it, you know, you feel like really, oh my God, such exhausting thing. But if you cannot do it, you get too exhausted by it, then you use the fourth level. Abhyase api asamartosi matkarma paramo bhavan. What is the next line? Madartam api kaunteya. Madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. He says that if you cannot do even abhyasa rupa bhakti, then he says at least engage your external senses in my devotional service. Your mind may be absorbed, your mind may not be absorbed. But at least engage your external senses in my activities. So by that, at least when your external senses are engaged, then you are not engaging in any activity that would lead you to accumulate newer material impressions. Isn't it? When the senses come in touch with sense objects, it leads to another material impression which acts as a as an obstacle. So therefore, at least engage your external senses constantly in my service. So at least you will not be accumulating any newer impressions. And then, when your senses are constantly engaged in Krishna's activities, then it will be subsequently be easier to engage your mind also in Krishna. Because all the impressions, surface impressions are impressions of devotional service only. So why would it be difficult to engage the mind constantly in Krishna? Because there are so many material impressions. But if the senses are constantly engaged in Krishna's service, then the surface impressions are all impressions of performing some devotional activity. Then the next stage of performing Abhyasarupa Bhakti becomes easy. So all these four are Uttama Bhakti only. Different levels of Uttama Bhakti. Slightly different kind of classification here. Not in terms of bhava, asakti, ruchi, nishta and so on. Similar classification, but you know, smaranatmika, mananatmika, abhyasarupa, and the fourth is, you know, we gave it a name, karma rupa, just for our identification. So he says, but if you cannot constantly engage even your senses in my devotional activities, which in this age of mass distraction, even that becomes difficult actually. You know, with smartphones and WhatsApp and internet and all these things, it becomes, even for a sincere sadhaka, to engage his senses constantly in Krishna's activities also becomes difficult. But Krishna does not give a fifth category that can be included within Uttama Bhakti. He says, if you cannot do even that, then practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, he says. Ata etadapi ashaktosi kartum madhyogam ashrita sarvakarma falatyagam tatakkuru yatatmavan, he says. Then you do Nishkama Karma Yoga. The lowest level of Uttama Bhakti that I can offer to you is at least engage your external senses continuously in Krishna's service. So which means we have to take a constant, we have to make constant endeavor at least to fix. So but at least to fix our external senses in Krishna's activities. If we cannot do that, to fix the mind in Krishna is impossible. Abhyasarupa Bhakti is not at all possible if our external senses are not constantly engaged in Krishna's service. So you may say, I am not able to fix my mind in Krishna. The simple question is, are your senses continuously engaged in Krishna's service? Only then we can even endeavor to fix our mind. Otherwise, it is not possible to fix our mind in Krishna's service. Very, very lofty thing. We can't even endeavor to do it. It's very difficult. So the prime stage is that first to fix the mind, first to fix the senses, external senses in Krishna's service. That's why Krishna says, Tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bharatarishava. Start with the senses is the easiest. Even though he says, Indriyani manobuddhir asyadishtana muchyate. Indriyas, mind and intelligence are the residing places of lust. But he says, but start with the senses. Then it becomes easy. Keep the senses away from the sense object. Then it becomes easy to fix the mind in Krishna. But if you do it the other way, first I will fix the mind in Krishna, then I will disengage the senses from the sense objects. Doesn't happen at all. When the senses are in constant touch with the sense objects, then the surface impressions are all impressions of material sense gratification. Then the mind will go only to the surface impressions. So therefore, we have to start with at least practicing Karma Rupa Bhakti. First thing is, are our senses constantly engaged in Krishna's service? That is the first thing. Then it is possible to fix the mind, Abhyasarupa, then Mananatmika, then smaranatmika bhakti. Very systematic progression that Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. Like that. Okay. Then, sampadyamanam ajnaya bhishvam brahmani nishkale sarve babhuvuste tushnim vayam siva dinatyaye. The ignorant who are like birds who think that the day has been destroyed at the approach of evening thought that Bhishma had attained the Brahman and became silent. So ignorant people who are watching this, they thought that, oh, Brahmaji, Bhishmadev must have merged into Brahman now. And they became very silent. Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, Bhishma had attained his cherished form of Krishna as the charioteer. But the common people, not knowing this though, thought that he had entered into Brahman. This is expressed in this verse. An example of ignorance is given. Birds, thinking that the day has been destroyed at the end of the day, because they cannot see it, they become silent. You see? Just when the day is just going to end, they keep screeching, ting, 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 you know. But when it becomes night, completely dark, during the day they are flying here and there. When the night is coming closer, they all congregate in a particular tree. And they are screeching non-stop. But when it slowly becomes completely dark, they become silent. Okay, so that's an example of ignorance that is given. They thought that Bhishmadev had merged into Brahman. What they didn't know is that Bhishmadev attained his cherished form of Krishna as Parthasarathi. The day has not actually been destroyed, because one understands that after some time, this day still exists. Since after 12 hours, daylight appears again. The ignorant think that when Bhishma passed away, he attained liberation, impersonal liberation. The intelligent understand that at the very moment, in an invisible form, Bhishma fights on the ground with Krishna holding the chariot wheel in his hand. And that in a future appearance of Krishna, Bhishma will also appear with him. Or, Brahmani Nishkali can mean, into the Brahman Krishna who wears a golden ornament. Like that. One should not explain that Bhishma merged into the Brahman, since by giving him something devoid of his goal, this would be cheating his eternal associate Bhishma of Prema, since Bhishma did not desire liberation, and since it would be improper for the Lord to give undesired results forcibly. So why would Krishna give Bhishmadev something that he doesn't desire? He both desires and deserves to be an eternal associate of Krishna. Why would Krishna deprive him of that? This would be like cheating. He came to assist Krishna in his pastime. And Krishna said, okay, now you go to Brahman. Of course, for a devotee, if there is service there, he is happy going to Brahman also. But there won't be any service there. It would be punishment. So why would the Lord want to punish his own devotee? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, merging here means like a part of a machine fitted back into the machine. It is not becoming homogeneously one, like merging into the Brahma Jyoti. Bhishmadev entered that Vaikuntha planet where the Lord eternally resides as Parthasarathi. That's the understanding Prabhupada also gives. Bhishmadev never forgot Krishna in that form, and therefore Krishna was personally present during his passing away. This is the highest perfection of life. Tatra dunduvayo nedur deva manava vaditaha shashamsusada voradnyam khatpetu pushpavrishtayaha. Drums played by the devatas and men sounded. The kings without hatred praised him, and all and flowers fell from the sky. Tasya nirharanadini sampare tasya bhargava yudhishthira karayitva muhurtam dukkito bhavat. O Shaunaka, Yudhishthir had last rites of the departed Bhishma performed and became sad for a moment. Why did he become sad? Though Bhishma is an eternal associate of the Lord in his amsha of the Lord, his amsha had entered into Vasu. Do you remember we saw he was one of the eight Vasus. He entered into the Nityasiddha form of Bhishma while performing pastimes. So when Bhishma Dev re-entered his Nityalila, then that Vasu went back to his original Vasu form. Thus Bhishma is shown by the Lord to give up his body. His amsha was situated in Vasu, and he himself attained the spiritual world. He himself, Bhishma himself. Vedanta Sutra says, Yavad adhikaram avastitir adhikarinam. Those designated by the Lord remain in their posts on earth as long as the Lord chooses. When the Lord chooses to send Bhishma Dev back, then those designated by the Lord, they get returned back to their original position. Samparetasya can be analyzed for Samyak and Para for Parameshwara and Itasya for Praptasya. So Samparetasya literally means after he left his body, he became a Preta, or like he left his body. So Samparetasya ka alternate indirect meaning is given by Srila Vishnu Jagadakur. He says, stands for Samyak, complete. Para stands for Parameshwara, Supreme Lord. And Itasya stands for Praptasya, obtained. So Sam, Para, Itasya, Samparetasya means of the person who attained the Supreme Lord completely. Even though the literal meaning or the immediate meaning, direct meaning would be after he died. Samparetasya. Like that. Okay. Let's continue. Tushtavurmanayo hrishtaha krishnam tadguyyanam abhihi tataste krishna hridayaha swashraman prayayukpunaha. The sages in joy praised Krishna with his confidential names, and then with Krishna in their hearts they departed again for their hermitages.
So in one body, there were Vasu also came and eternal Bhishma Dev.
Yeah. That happens in practically all the, when Krishna comes to perform his pastimes, in the body of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, or the sadhana siddhas who have perfected their sadhana, they are getting trained to go back to the spiritual world. So, in the body of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are Drona and Dara, who are sadhana siddhas. And in the body of Devaki and Vasudev are Prishni and Sutapa. In the body of Bhishma Dev is one of the Ashtavasus. In the body of Pradyumna is Kamadev. Like that, in all the eternal associates' bodies, some of the demigods who are qualified to participate in that pastime, or some of the sadhana siddhas who are ready to go back to the spiritual world, they would enter and either participate, or in the case of sadhana siddhas, they would get trained that way. Tato yudhishthiro gatva saha krishno gajahvayam pitaram santvayamasa gandharim cha tapasvinim. Then Yudhishthir went to Hastinapur with Krishna and consoled Dhritarashtra and Gandhari. who was overcome with grief. Pitra chanumato raja vasudevanumoditah chakara rajyam dharmena pitrupaitamaham vibhu. With the permission of Dhritarashtra and agreement of Krishna, powerful Yudhishthir ruled the ancestral kingdom according to dharma. So he ruled according to dharma. So that brings us to the end of this chapter. So we will take a short break and then we will start the 12th chapter.